Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
We've got to start with the UConn women in search of their eighth national championship against Louisville.
Indeed, we will start with the UConn women because last night in New Orleans, they did it. They didn't just complete the search. They were successful in it. They beat Louisville to become NCAA basketball champs.
The Huskies slaughtered Louisville 93-60 thanks to an unstoppable offense led by forward Breonna Stewart, who scored 23 points and became the first freshman to be voted most valuable player in nearly 25 years.
You know what, we just went out on the court and was aggressive and just played our hardest, and we didn't want to let up. I mean, it's a national championship game, and we're going to leave it all on the court, and I think we did that.
Joining us now, as he does every Wednesday to talk sports, is host of NPR's Only a Game, Bill Littlefield. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
So that was a pretty decisive decisive win for the UConn women, who seemed to pretty much trample all over Louisville's confidence early on.
Yeah, except for the pretty. It was certainly decisive. Breonna Stewart was magnificent, and I think all the other coaches of women's basketball teams have to suddenly look up and say, uh-oh, Gino Auriemma found another one.
Yeah.
In the great tradition of Rebecca Lobo, Maya Moore, et al., he's got another superstar, and she's got three more years at UConn.
And quite an accomplishment. You mentioned Coach Gino Auriemma. This was his eighth national championship.
National championship, now tied with Pat Summitt, the legendary coach of the women's team at Tennessee. And what more to say? I mean, of the total number of NCAA women's championships, I think Pat has won half. Gino and Pat together have won half.
Yes. So, amazing.
And some teams.
And Bill, what more to say? I'm still stuck at 93-60.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
No, it was a in competitive terms, it was a terrible game. It was close for a very few minutes at the beginning, and then Connecticut just started.
You mean
started
before the tip-off? Right?
No. It was actually, I think it was 12-12 or 14-14, something like that. But Connecticut just started hitting shots from everywhere, and three-pointers, I think they ended up shooting 50% from the three-point range. Just extraordinary. And as Auriemma said after the game, they just have been getting better and better and better over the last several weeks, and they certainly picked the right time to peak.
Well, let's talk a little briefly about some other basketball news. This has to do with Brittany Griner, Baylor basketball star. She's been in the headlines recently because the Dallas Mavericks head coach Mark Cuban, is he the coach or the owner?
He's the owner.
Said he's going to consider selecting her in the second round of the NBA draft. So Bill, this has caused quite a ruckus in basketball circles.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that people are talking about Brittany Griner as a potential draftee into the NBA. They should be talking about Brittany Griner as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, single force in women's college basketball. And they should be talking about her, I think, also in terms of the impact that she's likely to make on the WNBA and on basketball wherever else she chooses to play it, in Russia, where they pay the basketball players who happen to be women very well, for example. I don't think this is such a hot idea. I think it's a publicity grab by Mark Cuban.
Which wouldn't be entirely unexpected.
Wouldn't be the first
given
time
his
he had
behavior
done that.
From the sidelines, especially frequently during Mavericks games. But on the other hand, Bill, let me just offer this. I mean, Brittany Griner, as you mentioned, is a very remarkable player. She's got an incredible physical presence, so much so that ESPN Sports Lab really dissected her power in 2011 in a show. So here's a clip.
We measured her hands at 9 inches long and 9.5 inches wide, and her wingspan at a massive 7 feet, 3.5 inches. That's actually a larger grip than LeBron James and a greater reach than Andrew Bynum.
I can't tell if that was a sports cut or something from a carnival. But
yeah, exactly. I worry about talking about people in terms of wingspan, and especially when there's, you know, electronic cyber music going on in the background. But she's a great player, and I don't doubt that. But I defer to people who know much more about this than I do. Gino Auriemma himself, the UConn coach, said that this was ludicrous. Joanne McCallie, the Duke women's coach, said, why can't they just let women be great basketball players as women rather than worrying about comparing them with bigger, stronger, faster human beings who happen to be men? Hmm. And I fall into line with that. I think this is kind of a diversion.
All right. Well, let's move away from the diversion and talk opening day at Fenway Park, Brill. With your brand new Red Sox that I know you're newly in love with. They came back home in sole possession of first place, then behind Clay Buchholz, spanked the Baltimore Orioles 3-1. They've won 5 games, lost just to 2, just a pair. They're grinding out at bats. They're pitching well. They're stealing bases.
You've been watching carefully, Anthony. Have you had any time to do your work?
Yeah, this is my work, my friend. This is your work. Well, what do you think? Are you convinced?
I think it's much better than being 1-5, which is what they were at this time last year, and more power to them. And isn't it ironic that the sellout streak is going to end? It didn't end during the dreadful season last year, at least according to those always reliable statisticians down on Yawkey Way.
They've scheduled it to end today, I think,
right? Yes, that's what they have said. Yeah. So, it's great. It's great. Good.
All right. Well,
good
on them. We'll see where they go from here. As Dan Shaughnessy told us on Monday, it's just a small sample, so cool your jets about it. All right.
Always a cheerful presentee.
A curious story this week. Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, who won 5 batting titles for the Red Sox, spent 11 seasons in Boston before leaving for the Yankees, says he wants his number retired at Fenway Park. That would put him in the company of Bobby Doerr, Joe Cronin, Carl Yastrzemski, Ted Williams, Carlton Fisk, Jim Rice, among others. Oh, yeah, Jackie Robinson is up there as well. Mm-hmm. Now, Boggs was good, but that good?
Well, my bias is that he should probably be up there.
Yep.
He won all those batting championships. He was an incredibly dependable hitter. His concentration was unparalleled. He was a very strange person to talk to. However, why not?
All right. All right, a vote there for Wade Boggs' number to be retired.
Bill Littlefield is the host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear him on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Bill, always great to have you.
It's a great pleasure, Meghna. Thank you.
Stick with us because coming up, Samurai. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.